How are we at podcast number 14, Mike Pesto?
I have no idea, but it does come after 13, so I guess that has something to do with it.
Yes, indeed. Well, here we go. Here we go. It's my turn, correct?
It is, but I'm going to hijack you once again. I have fun with this, which only means that next week when I have to come up with what we really talk about, you get to hijack the conversation first. So I don't know if you saw the story that really broke earlier this week about the Taco Bell in Kokomo, Indiana, of all places. You haven't heard this.
What happened?
The look in your face.
So, maybe I did.
There was an employee there who saw two of her coworkers in the back, in the kitchen, where the chalupas and everything else are made, one employee giving the other one a haircut. In the kitchen of this Taco Bell in Kokomo, Indiana. Beach Boys never sang about this, by the way.
No, they didn't.
So, and I saw this on the heels of already having done a What Would You Do Wednesday, because I thought this would have been a perfect What Would You Do. So let me ask you, if putting a situation here at work, if you saw me doing something that you knew was, if not illegal, just wrong to do, would you A, pull me aside and say, hey, dude, you probably shouldn't be doing that, B, talk to our program director and say, hey, Mike Pesto was doing something he shouldn't have done, or C, hit up your socials with a picture of me doing it?
Well, in the case of you and I working here, I would come to you because you and I have that kind of relationship. Uh-huh. But if I was like 18 and working at the McDonald's, I would have been, hey, what are you guys and get everybody's attention and be like, hell no, you're not going to be the guy doing his nails sitting next to me in the airplane. That's not happening because I'm shutting you down right now. I mean, all the hair in the air, no.
Well, I'll let you know what she did, and obviously we're talking about it, so you probably already figured it out. She hit it up with her socials.
Nice.
And got fired as a result.
Oh, my.
Because she didn't bring it to management first and keep it internal. She decided to share it on Snapchat, one of her friends on Snapchat, shared it on Facebook or Instagram, and next thing you know, here we are in middle of the state, California, talking about
it. Well, I know for a fact, being in media, that I know that socials can kill me, and that when I open my mouth, it can come back to me. So I generally try to be careful. That's why I said, with you and I would have come to you, Mike, really? Haircut? And the come, dude, get the right around the corner, super. And in the case of the McDonald's, I would have just been like, everybody look right now. Are you serious? What? Because that's what I always do. I turn the group against you.
Okay.
As an MC at a wedding, when if I something starts to go wrong, a drunk guy comes up to do something, I just turn the music down and go, well, when this guy chills out, we'll get the music back on. All of a sudden, hey, and then the guy's off the floor. So
it did get me to thinking about the, and maybe I'll have to have an honor conversation about this, is the strangest combination businesses you've ever seen. I saw one when I lived in Northern Illinois. It was a gas station and a Chinese restaurant, like
nice.
A sit-down Chinese restaurant.
And I could top my tank off after my egg roll. Nice.
All right, so that's how I hijacked it this time around. So what do you actually have for the meat for this dish this time around?
Well, Sal, how about this? Things or behaviors that were relevant when we grew up that aren't now.
Ooh.
Like,
okay.
Here's an example. I mean, I've got so many here. For instance, anywhere you go today, restaurant, store, doctor's office, everyone in wherever is sitting quietly staring at their phone. When I grew up, if I had had a phone at the dinner table, I would have lost that phone in one hot second because conversation was what's going on at the dinner table. We ate dinner at the dinner table every night until we became teens, and that all went awry. But for the longest time, because my parents wanted the family together at dinner, and, you know, even when we went to church or anywhere as kids in the station wagon, yeah, I'm older, there were no cell phones. Well, there couldn't be then, but there wouldn't have been. And, you know, that's one of the things. You know what I'm saying?
I do. It's one of those rules that if the phone doesn't mean anything to you in that moment, during that particular meal, it's easy to enforce. Like, my wife is typically the one that will get on me or get on my son. My daughter doesn't have a phone yet. If we happen to even have it at the table. But every once in a while, there's something going on in her life where she feels she needs to be plugged in even while dinner is going on. And I'll have to point out to her, hey, I thought you said something about no phone at the table. Well, I've got this. Well, I've got that. Rules are rules.
Yeah. Gotta call it. When I was a kid, everybody played outside with our neighborhood friends. And, I mean, we hopped connecting fences into each other's backyards. When I lived in Oregon, have you ever seen that Dennis the Menace movie, the original one, where they're playing kickball in the street? There was no fences, yard to yard to yard. That was where I grew up in Oregon. Okay. And that's how it was. When I moved to California, it was so hard to make friends compared to there because there was just access to everything. And, I mean, our moms, nearly all, were home after school back then. Yeah. Would invite you in for cookies and milk. I mean, you remember lemonade stands?
First time I ever had a peanut butter and butter sandwich.
Nice.
Was at a friend's house because mom didn't work and dad didn't. And that's also the last time I ever had a peanut butter and butter sandwich. Not my thing.
Yeah, they're not necessarily the best. Sandboxes and playhouses were things.
I'm so glad you brought that up. My dad was really, he was a lot more handy than my mom ever gave him credit for. He made for us, my sister and I, this huge sandbox at our house. This whole side part of our house, the whole side yard was nothing but this huge sandbox. Like a fourth of it was the dog run area, which was fenced in, so the dogs did their business over there, but the rest of it was all ours.
And how about this? How about this? This is my fondest memory as a kid. I had unfettered freedom and rode my bicycle everywhere.
Preach.
Everywhere. Oh. And okay, so let's put this late 70s. Uh-huh. So yeah, we're talking the Stingray with the big banana seat and the 5-speed on the column. With the handlebars kind of up like a Harley a little.
I can picture it.
And the handbrakes. But we rode them everywhere. And, I mean, it was a safer world then to a definite degree. I mean, I lived in a little town called Beaverton, Oregon. And one day, just because I wanted to, at about noon, I got on my bike because I was out all day. That wasn't weird. If I didn't come home in 4 hours, that was normal. I was out with my friends. And so I just decided, which wasn't my best decision, to jump on my bike, and I rode it 6 miles to Hillsboro.
Oh, wow.
It took me about a half an hour, 45 minutes, and I'm like, huh, well, now I got to go home. And I came back and walked in the door at about 2 o'clock and said, well, I just went to Hillsboro and came back. And my mom looked at me like I had 10 heads, got a little bit upset with me, and you know, just said, hey, from now on, I need you to tell me when you do that. Today, I would have, you know, took the bike away from him and not given it back to him for a month. But, I mean, we rode our bikes everywhere. Mom didn't take me to the store. Mom didn't take me anywhere. If I got held after school at my school and my parents took us and drove us home in the car, I was walking home.
Yeah.
And that was 3 miles. So it's like, here's a good idea. Don't screw up and stay after school. It was a different time, you know?
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point. I think about this quite a bit. You say it was it's different now. It's not as safe now.
Mm-mm.
Where I grew up, it was Northern Illinois. And when I was growing up, we didn't know the names of the people at the time. But when I was growing up, that's when John Wayne Gacy was doing what he was doing. That's when Jeffrey Dahmer was doing what he was doing. And it just so happens two of those notorious mass murderers were doing what they were doing in a part of the country that I happen to live in.
Wow.
So I always wonder with that is it that things are more dangerous now, or we're just more aware now of the dangers that are out there? Or is it some weird combination of both?
I'm thinking it's bits of both because, I mean, as we all know, nothing goes down without getting on social media within 10 seconds of it.
I'm sure that's a lot of it, too. We're just much more aware of things now. Like, again, all of that was happening at the time, but we didn't know the names of those people involved. We didn't know that all those missing kids, they were all related to one person having abducted them and doing what they did with them.
No, because you had to wait for the evening news to find out it wasn't on Facebook.
Yeah.
And how about this? Do you remember this? Again, class of 76, that's how old I am. There was one, maybe two TVs in the whole house. And in our house, family room, living room, big console TVs. That's it. And by the way, Only broadcast TV, no streaming, three networks.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it. I mean,
that was before Fox.
The one night of the Wizard of Oz or Charlie Brown Christmas special aired, that was it. You watched it or you didn't. See you next year, remember?
It's funny that you mentioned the TVs because it seemed like, at least with me growing up, there was a time when we did have a TV in my bedroom, a TV in my sister's bedroom. My folks had a TV in their room. There was one in the family. I mean, we had like five or six. And I loved TV growing up. Yeah. I was a TV and ice cream. You would have taken those two things away from me, I would have thrown a fit on the floor no matter where we were. Something happened to me at some point that I fought with my wife. I mean, not really, but you know, about having a TV in our bedroom. And it wasn't until I had COVID that I finally acquiesced and said, okay, I don't want to infect anyone else, but I still want to be plugged in and watch stuff with my son because we both had it at the same time. That's the first time we both had a TV in our room. So now we have two. We have the family room. We have our bedroom. In fact, we have a third TV that is in a closet because I don't want to put it up anywhere.
That's funny. Well, we have one in every we have one in the living room. We have one in our bedroom. Sean has one. And that's one in every person that lives there's room now. But
so I take it you'll never be one of those families that gets one of those Samsung refrigerators and you actually have the TV on the refrigerator itself?
Please, God, no. We're actually looking at a new refrigerator right now. We do like the Samsung. We like the bespoke. But I don't even want the beverage center. And heck no to the TV. We'll be just fine. How about this, Michael? We had one house phone. It sat up on the bar in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. There weren't any cell phones. You stood right there. Yeah, Bob. Yeah, we had a great time at school. Everybody leave me alone. Well, school today.
How do you have, if you have your conversation, how does mom or dad jump on the other line then to kind of eavesdrop on the conversation?
They had a phone in their bedroom.
Okay, so you had two then, but only one that the whole family had access
exactly
to.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And I mean, we think about that today. I mean, you think about making a phone call, whap, it's out of your pocket, done.
Yeah.
Not back then.
We don't even have a phone line at the house.
Yeah, neither do we.
The house that we're in now, we've never had one. Our previous house, when we first moved here 12 years ago, we had it there for like the first year. Then we thought, why are we doing this? The only calls we ever get on that phone are spam calls. Let's just disconnect it and one less thing we have to pay for.
I had to do it in steps. I disconnected the home phone, and then I got a Magic Jack line. What that is?
Oh, I remember those.
That's an ISP. They still exist.
Do they?
Yeah. Okay. In fact, that's how we get our meter readings.
Okay.
That's a Magic Jack line. But what it is, for those that don't know, it's via internet. I could plug my old school phone with the little phone jack into my computer port. And with the software on my computer, which means that my computer had to be up all the time.
Yeah.
It couldn't go down. But via internet, people could call the house, and it was a weird number that didn't have anything to do with the local area code. And I had that for a while, and I'm like, no one's using this. What's the get rid of it? And now it's just my home phone.
There you go.
I haven't put – I mean, at the doctor's office or anywhere you have to fill out the form,
uh-huh.
One phone, that's all we've got. She, yeah. Colleen, if she's filling out hers, puts hers down. I put mine down. That's all there is. Here's another one. We had the ability to self-entertain. And I mean, like...
Yeah, you better clarify that because something else comes to mind that I'm sure you're not talking about.
I'm talking about Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys. Okay.
All right, just making sure.
And you can literally, I mean, we could literally sit there and play with those for an hour or two. And I'm playing with it by myself. Look what I made. This is awesome. Blah, 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 blah. And I didn't need my mommy to do things for me and to tell me what to do next. And we had library day. Every 2 weeks, you could check out 14 books when I was growing up. And I checked out 14.
Wow.
And I read them all. And I couldn't wait to do it again. And music, boy, has that gone through a whole thing. And when I discovered Top 40 Radio in 1968 in Oregon, I got my first AM transistor radio. And I thought I was bad news with my little wire connected and the little earplug in my ear. Look at me. How modern am I? Of course, that went through boom boxes back when record stores were so cool, records and cassettes, iPods, now Spotify, so many things.
I think in a lot of ways, our generation is blessed in that we went from seeing things on vinyl to seeing things on 8-track, to seeing things on cassette, then CD, now MP3. I mean, music delivery, how it's gone from so many people in the loop to now literally artists on TikTok or however they want to do it can get music to you immediately, like the day after. Heck, the minute after they finish production,
true,
they can upload it and you can have it immediately. I love the fact that we've seen it evolve from where it was to where it is now.
And I'll throw one more out at you that's going to make you smile. You take this for granted every day. I take this for granted every day. I'm the worst at this, by the way. My wife yells at me every day. I'll be like, hey, Siri, give me directions to. And my wife will look at me and go, we're in our neighborhood. Why don't you know this? I mean, back in the day, first of all, it was folding maps in the car, and my dad would scream at us if we folded them wrong. And then it moved on to the – does anybody remember the Murray map book?
Yeah.
You would get it.
Had it.
You would get it new every year, and oh, hey, look, a road disappeared, and there's a new one here, especially if you took the same ways. And each, and there was no GPS, man, no GPS at all. And I rely on it now. The older I get, I have trouble seeing in the dark. I'm not a road hazard yet, but it's harder for me to set. So I just kind of leave it on. Uh-huh. And if I'm not sure where I am for a second, oh, okay, road 140. Okay, I know where I am. And then, you know, it's not like I'm actually turn left at road 140. I just have it up and I can see the mobile map, you know, following my dot. I know right where I am. And so it's just in case I'm like, okay, I know
now,
where I'm at.
On longer road trips, when whoever it is that you have, your Siri or whoever is telling you how to get from point A to point B, and there's a traffic hazard or traffic, you're on the 405 in LA.
I love that feature.
Do you always follow her alternative directions, or are you one to think, okay, it's going to take me so far out of the way, by the time this traffic clears, it's really not going to save me any time, and it's going to cost me a lot more gas as well. Which camp do you find yourself in?
To answer honestly, it depends on where I am and what's going on. If I know right where I'm at, I know I can jump off this freeway and go around if I want to. Or it's like, no, we're on the 405. It's four lanes both ways. It's a parking lot. It's not going to get any better or any worse. It wasn't going to go faster already. So I mean, yeah, it just depends on where I'm at. I just like knowing. Like on the 99, it'll, you know, hazard ahead, accident. I'll jump off because I know where I'm at, and I'll take the surface street because I know it. Although it's gangly, I'll get there faster.
Yeah.
And so that's my answer to that. I like it locally. Long term, I'm not going to go all the way. You know, if I look on my thing and I see that the what's the big road? If I went down south right now, you go up all the way over the Grapevine. Yeah, the Grapevine. If the Grapevine's closed, we're not going. I'm not going all the way around. No.
Are you kidding?
Anybody that much.
Wow.
There's nobody in the world I like that much.
Yeah, that's another reason why it's good to have GPS. Can you imagine back in the day, if you were in Fresno deciding you want to go to Southern California and not knowing if the Grapevine was closed, you get to the Grapevine.
Yay.
And only then find out, turn around, go back to where you came from.
Hey, honey, vacation over. Have a nice day. No, I really appreciate that. No, honestly, GPS was a revelation to me because I had the Murray map book and I had a mobile DJ business and I went to a new place every other weekend. And it was so nice for Siri just to be, here we go, we're going to a weird place and I'm going to get you there. It might not necessarily be the very best way, but she got me there and got me home, especially after the wedding when I'm turned around in the parking lot of a venue I don't know where I'm at. Mm-hmm. She gets me right back to the road and then, okay, now I know where I am, turn her off, go.
Now, before you had that, or maybe even if you didn't have the right map for the right area, of course, still couldn't figure out where you were, how often did you pull into a gas station and ask how to get to where you wanted to go?
I learned there was actually two solutions back in the day. You could do that because, you know, if you, of course, my luck, get in there, I don't know. You're no help at all. But that was a good way. Or I came to find out that you can call the CHP.
Oh!
You can call the CHP and say, hey, I am here. And I'm trying to go there. What's my best route? Oh, just do it. And they would tell you because guess what? They're on the roads every day. I didn't know that. That became a blessing to me. Of course, sometimes they didn't answer, which was hard if I was an hour out from the wedding. But that was another alternative you could use.
Yeah, my dad, he was always one that would pull into the gas station and ask because we did a lot of traveling when I was a kid. But when I started driving before having the GPS and the phones, I – I would rather stay lost for 3 hours than pull into a gas station and admit defeat. Because that's I love my dad that he pulled over, but for me doing it, that's admitting defeat. That's tapping out. I can figure this out. I know where I'm going eventually.
Why am I in Monrovia? I get it. I just thought of one more since you mentioned it. We used to travel a lot. I lived in upstate New York, and my original family, my parents' family lived on Long Island. And we would make the drive straight down to there. It took about 4 hours. The coolest place in my father's big four-door sedan to ride if you were about 3.5, 4 feet tall, and in my opinion, was on the hump in the back seat on the floor, because you're laying down, you can fall asleep. Best place ever. No one's bugging you. You're comfortable because I'm this tall. And that's where we rode. Because seatbelts, what were those?
My sister would curl up in the foot space, either behind the passenger seat or the driver. I would stretch out underneath the back window, thus blocking the view for the rear view for my dad, but he didn't mind at that point. We were being quiet, so it was it was worth him not being able to see the back with the rear view mirror with me blocking his view. But that's where we picked the areas. And if we had our dogs with us, the dogs would actually stay on the seats.
Sixth grade, Catholic school. I can't tell you how many times flag football is what you played at Catholic school, not, you know, pads and that. And we would jump. I remember this so many times. We jumped in the bed of our coach's pickup truck and headed off to the contest. Wee, here we go. Never today.
No.
Not in 100 years, but we didn't think anything of it back then. It was just what you did.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. And I have friends of mine who had some serious accidents because I've got other people say, well, why don't we do that anymore? It's the nanny state now that we don't let kids do that. Well, I personally know kids that got hurt doing that. So there is a very good reason why, especially when it's kids. Now, if grown adults want to get in the back of the truck, God love them. You're making that choice for yourself. You're over 18. Fine. I feel the same way about helmets. I feel the same way about seatbelts. If I'm a grown adult, I should be able to make those decisions for myself. But as far as kids are concerned, do we care about kids' safety or don't we?
Yeah,
if we don't, then no, and then we probably shouldn't have them in the bed of the truck.
And my last one will be yes to this day, since I was a child to tomorrow. My favorite sports drink is what comes out of the garden hose in the front yard. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Well, that was a fun conversation.
Yeah, so many things have changed.
Man, so a lot of bases we covered, and we will try to cover a few more next time around.
And it's on you next trip. Here's the handoff.